Welcome back. It's Chris, and you're listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and we unveil tips and tactics to help you as an entrepreneur through expert and multimillionaire interviews. And if you're looking for a way to reach more people, make more sales, and have more fun, which is definitely always a plus, head over to Chris Gilbertson, that's Chris with a K, .com to learn more about the power of podcasting to help you explode your brand and literally gain instant expert status. So without further ado, this clip today is from a Tony Litster interview, where he's talking about how to overcome addiction. And this clip is specific to understanding what is addiction and how it comes into our lives. So without further ado, here is Tony Litster.
Well, first of all, let me start by saying the reason I'm an expert in addiction is because I've had so many. You know, right. Too often, one of my pet peeves is that sometimes it feels like the only people that are willing to talk about addiction are people that went to school for it. And so they read about a bunch of addiction, and they read about what the addict said to the therapist in the case study. But I think about, like, I've gone through therapy. I've done, like, I went to $150,000 worth of seminars. I spent over $100,000 on coaches. I know that I am never 100% transparent with the person that I'm talking to. You know, I might tell them, you know, when my marriage was struggling, I would go to a marriage counselor and I would tell them like 70% of what was going on, but I didn't tell them everything that was going on. And so there's this element to when I see someone that look, I don't want to knock someone that has a degree because they're probably way smarter than I am. And they probably have really legitimate case study driven solutions. So I don't want to knock them, but I sort of got this experience in talking to some of the, quote, experts in the field of addiction in dealing with my own compulsive behaviors in life, that it was like taking driver's education from somebody who read the car manual, and they were sitting in the passenger seat saying, this is how a car works. Go. But they never had driven the car. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I come to this having had the experience of sort of a reckless few years as a teenager, and then spending the next 20 years trying to eliminate from my life the habits I picked up as a reckless teenager. And so, yeah, I'm going to speak to this from, you know, a very personal aspect of dealing. You know, like I come from a family of very addictive patterns. Anybody that drinks in my family is generally an alcoholic. I've got a couple of family members that have died because of drug use. I've watched... there are several of them that have picked up approved addictions, which would include prescription drugs, workaholics, becoming like hyper-focused on their church, and basically that's their fix, is that they stay super, super, super busy with their church, food addictions, pornography addictions. Like, I've just watched it my whole life and dealt with my own, you know, like, unique little combination of addictive elements. And so I'm going to come to this just from a realistic standpoint of going, here's what I learned in my journey, and since that time have worked with people with their addictions for several years. And, you know, I've got a nonprofit online that helps people with internet addictions. And, you know, we've got a lot of programs on there to help people anonymously. But anyway, so I have to give a little disclaimer. I'm not a licensed doctor, therapist, you know, lawyer. I do have a driver's license, and that's about it. And so this is just my opinion. This is just my opinion, and I think I'm right.
Well, we want to hear it.
Okay, so a friend of mine, Mr. Dave Blanchard, with the Augmandino Group, did a survey of, I think it was around, at the time, it was around 3,000 entrepreneurs. And he found that if the entrepreneur had a couple of components, and I hope I quote him correctly on this, but something to the effect of, if they had the ability to envision something that hadn't happened yet, if they had the ability to imagine an outcome that hadn't happened, and they had the ability to feel, to actually emotionalize it and feel it like it was real, that 98% of those that had those two attributes also had some sort of internet addiction. Now, this is what's fascinating. You think about an entrepreneur. What is an entrepreneur? It's somebody that goes, I want to change my life. I want to improve. I want to have an outcome that I don't have right now, and they use their imagination to envision something in the future that they don't have. And they get imaginative enough about it that they actually feel it as if it's real in their body. And, and I mean, that's an entrepreneur. I don't know any entrepreneurs that aren't visionaries. And so the aspect of being an entrepreneur already opens us up to a potential for some sort of addiction. Now, he made a great distinction. This is Dave Blanchard that taught me this, that there is a difference between fantasy and mental rehearsal. Fantasy is when we imagine some outcome that hasn't happened, and we feel it as if it's real in our body, and then we just wait around for the universe to provide it for us. Right? So we've all seen The Secret, or at least a lot of us have, and The Secret talks about visualization, and it's a little bit misleading in the way that it's displayed there, because you hear these people get up and say, well, I wrote myself a check for $1 million, and then I envisioned it. You know, Jack Canfield says that on The Secret. And then suddenly I got a check for $1 million. Well, what he didn't elaborate on is that he then spent, you know, I think it was years, but at least months, doing events, writing books. They went around with the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, which has sold 500 million copies. They went around to like 100. I heard him talk about this recently. I think he said 120. I could be wrong on the number, but a lot of publishers,
right?
And got rejected over and 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 over. And so there's this element of we want success in our life, so we do these visualization exercises. We visualize what it is we want. And the difference with fantasy and mental rehearsal is that with mental rehearsal, we envision work as part of the process. You know, that four-letter word that entrepreneurs don't want to hear. We all want a business that flows on its own, that's effortless. You know, it's funny. I have several online businesses that are automated. And so several times a week we'll have different calls that are running that I'm not doing. And we've got websites that are delivering product and that, you know, I get sales every week from these different products that I've created, and people go, oh, man, that must be awesome. You have these automated funnels, and you've got thousands of people in your programs all over the world, dozens of countries. I get emails from all over the world from people in my programs, and they go, wow, that just must be great. You can just like, you know, I was in an event this last week, and my phone would beep, and I'd look, and I go, oh, cool, I just got a sale. And people are like, wow, man, you're sitting here at this event and you're just selling stuff while you sleep, right? So there's that aspect of business, and yes, that is absolutely true. I have that. And it took 3 years to build it. And I went totally, absolutely broke on the way there. You know, that was the bottom side of my real estate investments. Once those all ran out, my savings ran out. And so it was years and years and years of learning the process, of painstakingly creating product, of creating online systems and funnels that were tight, and learning through mistakes and through things crashing and through websites getting hacked and all this stuff, right? So there's this element of we want something, but we don't want to pay the natural law price for that thing. We'll look at our garden and we'll go, oh, man, I can't wait to kick back and eat a fresh tomato sandwich and cut a cucumber right out of my garden and eat a carrot out of my garden, right? So we have this vision of a harvest. But then when it's springtime, the dirt is hard. We don't want to till it. There's all these weeds on it from last time. We don't want to have to deal with those. We don't want to have to, like, you know, it's fun planting. We plant these seeds and we get all excited. But then, like, 2 weeks later when all that's growing is weeds, we're like, this stinks. I don't want to do this. So there's this element of where fantasy is where we envision an outcome that hasn't happened. We feel it in our body. It could be something totally unrealistic, could be something absolutely realistic, but we imagine it and we feel it in our body, and our brain releases this chemical called norepinephrine. And that is the chemical of experiencing it. Very, very powerful chemical. And so in our brain, we create a space where that world exists. And then we come back to the regular world, and it doesn't look anything like our fantasy. Like, man, my garden just looks like it's full of weeds. I didn't weed my garden last year. And I seriously had weeds that were like 7 feet tall.
Wow.
It was funny. Hardly anything grew. I just got too busy. And at the end of the summer, I was like, what a shame. All those seeds I planted, they couldn't grow because I didn't weed it. But we look at our garden and we go, it's full of weeds. But we look at our relationship and go, this isn't the fantasy relationship I imagined.
Right.
Like, in my fantasy relationship, there's someone that's just there to serve me and to meet my needs and to, you know, to, like, make me happy and all these things. That person never is tired and never is stressed and never gets upset, never has bad breath. Like, what? Like this? So what happens is when we create this fantasy world in our mind and we feel that norepinephrine, and we come back to the regular world, and it doesn't look that like we think it should, then our body goes into this sort of a shock state, a depressed state, where we experience cortisol, which is a very destructive chemical in the body. It's a high-stress chemical. It's similar. If someone's getting attacked by a bear, their body would release a lot of cortisol. And so then we get all depressed about it and all verklempt, and so then what do we resort to? We go back to our fantasy land, and we imagine this world in our mind. And he pointed out that there's a couple of components of the things that we imagine. The difference between a fantasy and a mental rehearsal, basically, that a fantasy, we are seeking to avoid pain and avoid struggle. So basically, we don't want any effort. And in a mental rehearsal, we anticipate and prepare for work. So it's like this. I have a project this year that I want to participate in. I've done this before, where my friend has a nonprofit. I sit on the board, and they go down to Africa, into Kenya, and they build a school. I went a few years ago and really, really enjoyed it. Well, I want to go this year, and I've been talking to him about it. And so, rather than just fantasizing myself going to Africa, and being there building a school and having this cool experience and going on safari and playing in the Indian Ocean and all these different things. Rather than just fantasizing that, what I'm doing is I'm looking at it logistically, and I'm going, I see the outcome. I go, yeah, I want to be there. And I go, okay, well, that's going to cost $4,000 to go because we pay for part of the school and our flights and stuff like that.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay. So then logistically, in my mind, I go, okay, how am I going to get that $4,000? And I could go do an event, I could sell product, I could go do a fundraiser, you know, I could go to a corporation and get corporate sponsorship, I'd go to people that I know and ask if they'd sponsor it, I could take it out of my savings account, I could create an online funnel and sell some online product, I could get on and do one of those programs where you ask people for donations and you're working towards a great cause. I don't know what it's called, I've seen some people do it lately. You know, there's like lots of different ways, but in my mind, I'm creating a logistical plan of, okay, I'm going to go and create this thing. And then I'm also saying, okay, so if I'm going to be gone for 2.5 weeks, I don't want to work while I'm there. So then I have to say in my mind, okay, I need to create some extra money so that I don't miss any of my income. My family doesn't suffer because I'm gone. That they don't even notice a difference in that. You know, like all the bills get paid, everybody gets paid out. So that means I need to create additional revenue. Same thing, I mentally rehearse it. Whereas someone that fantasizes would go, oh, man, I'm going to someday go build a school in Africa, and they would look at pictures of Africa, and they'd feel all the emotions of Africa, and then they'd look around and go, man, it's just not happening, and they get all depressed.
Right.
So why do I bring up this whole component of fantasy and mental rehearsal and all the stuff with addiction? Because what happens is we literally get addicted to these chemicals in the brain. These chemicals that we feel when we use our imagination. And I'm going to give a loose definition of addiction. And obviously I'm not a scientist, so, you know, you'll have to just take it with a grain of salt because I probably don't have a clue what I'm talking about. addiction, in my opinion, is it see, I have to say things like that because there's people that have degrees, and they get on my case when I talk with too much certainty. They're like, you can't make claims like that. What's your case study? What's your proof? And I'm like, well, I got 20 years of it.
Exactly.
I know what it is.
Yep.
I know exactly what it is. But anyway, I have to say things like that. I have to make ridiculous disclaimers so that the professionals don't make me stop talking. See, if I make ridiculous disclaimers, I can keep saying all this great stuff. Anyway. Having run an addiction recovery program and not being an expert, I've learned how to get around the games. So, what's addiction? Addiction is distraction. It's a way to distract ourselves emotionally, to avoid feeling something uncomfortable, or to distract ourselves with a pleasurable feeling. And so addiction, with this definition, could be anything we use to sort of get out of our mind. It could be food, could be sex, could be drugs, could be alcohol, could be work. I got a guy, an entrepreneur I'm coaching right now, really successful guy, 30 years of successful business. And one of the assignments I've been giving him is to take some downtime and just to listen to what's going on inside of him.
And he says,
I think I work just to avoid my anxiety. Right? I mean, and I know people listening to this are like, yeah, no kidding. Like, a lot of times an entrepreneur, they don't know how to be still. It's just they stay chronically busy.
Right.
And it's not even productive. It's like, okay, must be busy. So they busy themselves all the time, never sit down and get still and think. And then they get so wound up by the end of the day that they have to escape. And then they just I'll get into what's happening in addiction in a second. But anyway, so anything we use to distract ourselves can be an addiction. There can be positive addictions. Like, I know people that are addicted to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I know people that, you know, that are addicted to their charities or their churches or whatever it is. And so it's not like that's like a, you know, who would look at exercise and say that's a bad thing. Well, if you're using it to escape from your inner demons, which we all have, that's
right.
The other funny part about it. We've actually created a world in which we think some people have it all together.
Yep.
Which is so funny. I was at an event recently,
is.
And I said, it totally is. I was at an event, and I asked the audience, I said, do you know anyone that has it all together? In every area of their life, all at once. And this girl raised her hand, and she says, yes, I knew this girl in high school. She had it all together. And I'm like, in high school? Like, really? So, oh, yeah, she was perfect. She always did everything right. She was good. She got straight A's. She always, you know, she, like, participated in all these activities. She was always nice. She was always happy. I'm like, so she had it all together in her relationships in high school? And she's like, well, she didn't have relationships. I'm like, okay, thanks. She had it all together in her finances? And she goes, well, yeah, her dad made a lot of money. I'm like, doesn't count. Daddy Warbucks doesn't count. It's fine if you get money from dad. I don't care. I wish my dad would give me money. But but that doesn't count that you have that aspect of your life together. And to look at someone in their 17, 18 years old, for me, when I was 18 years old, my body just made muscle. I didn't even hardly have to work out. I look at it now and I'm like, what's going on?
Those days are great.
I'm doing all this effort. How come I'm not growing any muscle? Anyway. So we sort of bash that. But the reality of human nature is we don't have it all together in every area of our life. We create harmony and we address things as they come up. So sometimes we have to address our health, and sometimes we have to address our relationships, and sometimes we have to address our money, and sometimes we have to address our inner demons. And we just work between those. And if we can create some harmony there, then we'll talk about that here in a little bit of what steps we can take to actually create a little bit of harmony. We're never going to get balanced. We're never going to get it to where everything is balanced, but we can get it where things are managed, create some harmony. So
stay tuned for the next clip from Tony Litster, where he talks about why we get addicted and then further explains how to prevent that and how to stop addiction in your life in all areas, because it's prevalent in all different areas of our life. So I truly hope this is helping you and benefiting you. And if you'd like to learn more about Tony, head over to chrisgilbertson.com to learn more about Tony and the different programs he has, and also to learn about how to broadcast your message and really create a stake a claim as an expert in your space and be able to own and dominate the keywords in your niche through the power of podcasting. So again, this was Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and I want you to go out and make it a great day.